Room number 312. It goes this way. Called from above. And heavenly men by birth. Who once were but the citizens of earth. As pilgrims here, we seek a heavenly home, our portion in the ages yet to come. Could we sing all of this hymn? Some brother started for us, please.
Hebrews chapter 3, where we will begin and perhaps come back to it later. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. We find him in this blessed book. That's an introduction to what we want to have before us. Are you one of the brethren? Are you one of the holy brethren? Are you one of the partakers of that heavenly calling? By faith you are. I speak then to those who have obeyed the call in the gospel. We're going to take up one man of the Old Testament and one man of the New Testament, and then ourselves as coming under this call of God. turn to Hebrews chapter 11 to get the Old Testament character, well known to all of us, I trust. And beginning with the 8th verse, we'll read of him. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. There's the word. You've been called in the gospel. You've heard the gospel. Have you obeyed the gospel? Abraham obeyed his call. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. That was faith, wasn't it? By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence he received him in a figure. The father of the faithful, the man of faith, of whom in the 3rd chapter of Romans it says he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Faith honors God, and God honors faith. When you're called, obey. Let's turn back to learn a little more about Abraham. I want to go to John chapter 8 first to see what the Lord Jesus has to say about Abraham and about himself, the Lord Jesus. Perhaps we'll just start with verse 56. He was talking to these Christ rejectors of the leaders of the Jews, and he says to them, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Then said the Jews unto him, "Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" Now notice what Jesus says. Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." That's his title from all eternity. The Eternal. That's Jesus. Now let's go back into the history of Abraham in Genesis and get, perhaps we'll pass by Acts chapter 7 first on the way back there, because Stephen refers to him back there. And the appearing of God to Abraham, I think there are seven appearings, but we get what we need to see here in Acts chapter 7. Here's Stephen giving his dissertation before the Jews, and he said, "Men, brethren," that's Jews, "and fathers, hearken." Here it is. "The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Charan," and so on. This connects well with John 8, where the Lord told those unbelieving Jews, the leaders of them, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." The I Am, Jesus, Jehovah of the Old Testament, Jesus of the New. Now back in Genesis chapter 12, to touch on that call, called of God, called of God. Here's a man that was called out of a wicked world. He was an idolater, was Abraham. It says in the 24th of Joshua, if you want to look it up. The world had gotten into bad shape again after God had cleansed it once by the flood. Now what was God going to do? Choose out one man. And have him make a people for heaven as well as for the earth. Man failed on the earth. He lost control of it. And God has, through that, opened up heaven. You see, God is a God of love. He wants to reveal himself as Father. He delights in that. So he has set about to get a people for heaven to be around him in the glory. He hasn't forgotten the call of Abraham and his promise. All the promises of God in him are yea and amen to the glory of God by us. And he hasn't repented of that call for the Jews to have a people on the earth. That comes in, by the way, too. But here the earth was in bad shape. And God looks down and he sees one man. Chapter 12, verse 1. Genesis 12. "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee." Then he gives him seven promises. "I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great. Thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Now that comes down through the statement that we get in the first verse of the New Testament. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. You see, God had Christ in view from all eternity. So he comes early in the book. But the first man is of the earth earthly. The second man is the Lord out of heaven. So the first man comes in, by the way, and he's deceived and loses control of the earth. Satan takes over. Sin is here. God cleanses the world by the flood, and it's gotten back to bad condition again. So what's he going to do? Choose one man. You want to go with me now to Isaiah chapter 51. It says it pretty good here, I think, in Isaiah 51. God chose one man out of this earth that had deteriorated again. We need to read a few verses here. Isaiah 51. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, to the hole of the pit from whence ye are digged. Look unto Abraham, your father, unto Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. We read about that. God called one man alone and blessed him and gave him all this posterity and made him a blessing. Now to go on, let's pick up the very interesting story in Genesis 18. To choose out one of the very precious accounts of what happened to Abraham as dwelling here in a tent, called of God, chosen to get the whole of the earth, but living without any of it. And here he is in Genesis 18. The Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. This is one of the seven times when Jehovah appeared to that man that he'd chosen alone. And he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. Picture this man there in the desert, living in a tent, a hot day, and sitting in the door of the tent. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. Said, my Lord. Now notice that Abraham, there were three men there, and all he says is, my Lord. He only addressed one of those personages. If now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. This is Jesus. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Jehovah of the Old Testament, appearing as a man, to commune with the man of his choice. So, my Lord, if now I have found favor or grace in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee from thy servant, let a little water, I pray you, be fetched and wash your feet and rest yourself under the tree. Now notice that word, under the tree. What we're getting is a picture of fellowship in those days in the shadow of the cross. That tree is the cross. It's in the shadow of the cross that man and God can eat together, commune together. Because of all that Jesus has done. That tree is a figure of the cross. I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah. Remember what we read in Isaiah 51? There they were, he and his wife, living as pilgrims on the earth. Make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran into the herd and fetched the calf tender and good and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree. And they did eat. We're not going to be able to go on and finish the wonderful things in this chapter. But he was a man that was called of God way back there in Genesis and provided a feast for Jehovah. They sat there under the tree and did eat in communion. So, to him, We have truth made known. Let's go down and pick up the 17th verse. God wanted somebody with whom he could commune. It's been said that God is sufficient in himself for everything except objects upon which to display his love. And he gets those. You're one of them, if you're one of those heavenly men called from heaven. God wants communion. We touched on it this morning. And it's dependent upon obedience. I say God wants it. And we want it too, don't we? So here in the 17th verse, the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nation of the earth shall be blessed in him, even us Gentiles." So perhaps we've gotten enough of this man that was called in the Old Testament to have fellowship with Jehovah. Let's go now to one in the New Testament in Galatians chapter 1. Abraham, his name appears about as often in the New Testament as anyone in the Old Testament. But now here we have Paul in Galatians chapter 1. Beginning with verse 15. "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, called me by his grace, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to Peter and abode with him 15 days. But others of the apostles saw I none save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in time past now preached the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me." Now this is the beginning of Paul and his ministry. Peter and the twelve, had been with the Lord, heard his word, gotten his ministry down here on the earth. Not so Paul. He got it from the Lord in heaven. He received it from the Lord alone. So he was called when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his son in me. Paul, a special vessel, chosen of God, caught up to the third heaven, getting the ministry from Christ in heaven to give us the wonders of the fact that it can be written, "Holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ, and all that God has revealed in the writings of Paul, the truth as to the church, the rapture, the resurrection, the association in the one body, and the demonstration of that that Paul received as to the Lord's Supper. All these special revelations have come through Paul, and they are for us. So Paul was chosen by his grace, and God was going to reveal his Son in Paul and make these things known for us. Now we'll come down to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 to get something of the call that we who are here have heard and answered, I trust. So reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we'll get into some of the things that apply so beautifully to this company that's here today. Paul, this is part of the revelation that Paul got from Christ in glory, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, to reveal his Son in Paul. Through the will of God, it was God's will. Then there's Sosthenes, our brother. He was associated with it. Unto the church of God, which is in Corinth. It goes on, makes the broadest address of any of the epistles to them that are sanctified or set apart in Christ Jesus, called saints, saints by calling, holy brethren, saints by calling, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. That is all a profession. This book of 1 Corinthians is for anybody that makes any profession of Jesus Christ. And if they do, they better pay attention to it. And that's us too. Pay attention to it. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's grace, it's favor. Like the favor of God went to Abraham. And certainly to Paul. And certainly it has to us. And it's for our peace. From God our Father and from Jesus, from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything, the writer, Paul, is saying everything nice he can commend about the Corinthian saints. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. There a moment we see the wonderful supply of God for this church at Corinth in its early stages. They had everything they needed to maintain them, to sustain them in that position of the heavenly calling, gifts and so on. And they were waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here in these epistles, we get that full title of Jesus Christ our Lord and our Lord Jesus Christ. Then it says in verse 8, who shall also confirm you unto the end. It's to carry the saints of God all the way through to the end. Corinth and at Lowry too. The full supply is given from our ascended head to carry us through to the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is man's day. We get in another chapter here in Corinthians. In a sense, it's man's day now. But there's going to be the day of our Lord Jesus Christ when he will begin to take what belongs to him, what he has bought with his own precious blood. Now we want to get these next two verses. They are so excellent. God is faithful. That's the God that you and I have to do with. He is faithful in the full supply for his saints in fellowship down here, all the way to the end. It's the faithful God by whom ye were called. Now here's your calling. Ye were called. It's the Corinthians, but it's us here too. What were we called for? Called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. There's nothing better, nothing more excellent, nor ever has been, than to what you and I are called unto. This fellowship. God has called us unto the fellowship. You think of Abraham there, supplying a feast for the Lord, and perhaps the other two men. What a wonderful thing that was for that man who had been chosen. What a wonderful thing it was for him to supply that feast for Jehovah. But here it's God is faithful by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Abraham is enjoying fellowship with Lord. He calls him Lord, Jehovah. Before Abraham was I am. He was the eternal there, under the shadow of that tree, a figure of the cross. God and man can meet in peace and enjoy fellowship. So that's what we got here in this first chapter of Corinthians. The fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren. He's pleading now. Holy brethren, I trust you are and we are. It's for us by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. How wonderful to get that, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the fellowship we're called to, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He beseeches that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same spirit. We'll stop there. We don't want to go to that next verse. But the history carries us there, past history. But we want to get the basis of our heavenly calling and the fellowship that results from it. Fellowship is such a wonderful thing, and God wants it, just like as we had in John 14, verse 23. The Lord coming, and that's during this time, he's coming to take us to the Father's house. Meanwhile, he comes to the obedient soul, he and his Father, and has communion. They want it. There's nothing sweeter today than that communion with the Father and with Jesus on the basis of all that God has done in Christ. So we will go now to Philippians 2:1. Here we have another fellowship, the fellowship of the Spirit, Philippians 2:1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded. Pleading the same thing we get there in the first of Corinthians. The same mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. So there is a way to go on in peace and enjoying that fellowship together. It's the fellowship of the Spirit, I think, that it is the result of an endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. It's obedience to this blessed book. If you're that way, and I am that way, there is a unity in fellowship with the Spirit. The one body, truth, is kept by God. But we are to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Obedience to the Scriptures, so that we can enjoy fellowship together in peace. We'll go on to Ephesians 4:1 to come back to Hebrews later. I've just been quoting a little from Ephesians 4:1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, see, he's imploring saints down here to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. We are called. We're called of God. We're called for heaven. But we're called to represent the one who has left us here to represent him. That calling. Walk worthy of the fact that you are one of God's children. Be what you are in practice, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering and forbearing one another in love. Then here's that verse, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now I'd like to go to 1 Corinthians 10. To get some of the precious things that are for us in fellowship to be a witness to whose we are and whom we serve. So in 1 Corinthians 10, we have what God has set up, and this comes through the Apostle Paul. In the next chapter, he talks about the Lord's Supper, and Paul says, I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. But he begins with the Lord's table in chapter 10, and he says in verse 14, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Abraham was taken right out of it, chosen of God. We're to run away from anything that would supplant God in, as having the first place in our hearts. Flee from idolatry. Money, sports, anything down in this world. These things pass away. But what we have of God endures. So he says, I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. Are you one of those wise men? There were wise men who came in Acts chapter 2, and they brought their gifts, and they brought them into the house where Jesus was, and they poured those gifts out there, and they worshiped him. There is a place today for worship. We'll pick up a verse about that just a little bit later. Now verse 16, the cup of blessing, which we bless. Is it not the communion? Now that word is the same as fellowship. Communion of the blood of Christ. The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Fellowship. Partaking of things in common. This is what we have on the Lord's table. One loaf. It's broken. We eat from it. We make it part of ourselves. That's real fellowship. That's real communion. And the blood, is it not the, which we bless, is it not the communion, the fellowship of the blood of Christ? And it turns out for a witness, verse 17, we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Now here we have the testimony based upon partaking, feeding upon the loaf and the cup. What it shows that there is one body, one bread, one body. We as a few brethren are not the body of Christ, but we meet on the basis that there is one body, and that that one loaf expresses that one body. And the Lord has asked us to have this fellowship with Him. Do you come to the Lord's table? Do you feed there? Do you partake of it? Are you a witness that Jesus lives and lives in His saints down here? Kind of troubles me. That is so difficult for folks to come to the Lord's table and do what Christ has asked us to do. It's not normal to be a Christian and not be at the Lord's table, showing that you are a member of His body, having that fellowship with Him in His sufferings and in His death. It is normal to be there. I'd like to encourage everyone who is saved to put themselves in the place that's there, in fellowship at the Lord's table. We'll go now to Romans chapter 8 to get what God says about believers. In Romans 8, we have a treatise of God upon the believer. What He is saying here is the truth about the believer. There's one verse that we want to get out of Romans 8, which will bring before us the wonders of what God says about you. He called Abraham, being alone, brought him into all this blessing. It pleased God, who separated Paul from his mother's womb, called him by His grace to reveal His Son in him. And so, here we have what God says about others who have heard the call. In the 30th verse, it's very simple, very lovely, very blessed to get just what we have in verse 30. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. Your destiny settled by God back then. It's all here. It's the whole story in one verse. Do you appreciate it? Do I appreciate it? Predestinated. Your destiny settled back there. God did this. It's all of God. It's absolute. It's just wonderful to believe and enjoy. Them He also called. We might hear the gospel tonight. I trust we shall, if we're here. The call is to everybody, but it needs obedience. When Abraham was called, he obeyed. And in this book of Romans, it teaches obedience of faith in the first chapter and in the last chapter. The calling is from God, and everybody ought to obey it and believe it by faith. Whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified. Justified. Doesn't stop there. These are all in the past tense. Whom He justified, them He also glorified. Takes us all the way into the glory. That's what you're called for, we'll go back and finish with Hebrews chapter 4, where we began. Hebrews chapter 3, take up a few verses. How wonderful is the call of God? Call from above and heavenly men by birth, who once were but the citizens of earth. We're pilgrims here. Wherefore, holy brethren, how wonderful to hear God saying that about you, about me. Reminds me of, you can look it up, in the story of Balaam and Balak trying to curse Israel down there in the valley below when they were misbehaving. But there was a battle on high. The evil spirits, he was a diviner, was that Balaam, wanting to curse God's people for money, and God wouldn't allow it. That he spoke those wonderful things about that people. God can do that. A shout of a king is amongst them. God looked at that nation and said, Christ is coming out of that nation. God looks on down to the end. He's going to have us there with Christ in glory. But now he says, you're already glorified. That's the absoluteness of the Word of God. It's just as good as being there in God's sight. Them he also glorified. But here, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle. That's what Jesus is. In this book that is written to the Hebrews, he was a sent one of God to the Jewish nation. Doesn't put a human author to this book. We know it's Paul. Peter tells us so. But it's written as being from Jesus the apostle. So the earlier chapters take up his teaching in a most marvelous way. He came and taught. He was sent to them. But then he's the high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. And so that is what Jesus is for us. We've touched a little on that. He was going up. In John 16, he has gone up. He's taken his position there as our faithful and merciful high priest, as our advocate. And that's the Spirit of God down here. So we have a double intercession for us. But if we can get a hold of some of the wonders of what we are called to, what we are called for, and the person who is the object before us in all of our pilgrim journey. Hebrews is a pilgrim book. So we're called to consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. You can't think too much of him. We can't think enough of him. We get one more chapter like this, in a few verses like this, in chapter 12, the first verses. More for our consideration. We're called from above and we're heavenly men by earth, but we're left here on the earth to represent that one who has called us out of this place as he waits to bring us up there to be around himself in glory. Here's something else. We talked a little bit about our tribulations and reproach. Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, those things that hinder in a race down here, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us. This is one of the great things in our life, patience. And more patience, and much patience. But we have an object lesson, looking unto Jesus. The author or the beginner of faith, he tried the whole course. from beginning to end, and he's gotten there to the end. He is in the glory. That man is there. What did he feel along the way? Who were the joy that was set before him? Oh, the joy he had of doing the Father's will. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is hid within my heart. But what was the way to the glory for him? Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him, another consideration for us, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. So there is the one to have as our object as we pass on our way, and soon that one will come as our deliverer from the coming wrath and take us into that glory. Let's sing in closing number 218. Soon will the Master come. Jesus is waiting up there. We're waiting down here. Patience becomes us. But oh, the supply and the fellowship, what is so wonderful. We're just enjoying our brethren of like precious faith right here today. But soon will the Master come, soon pass away. Our times of conflict, grief, and suffering, we get a little bit of that, don't we? Let's sing number 218. Some brothers start, please.
Soon will